Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on the first Sunday of November 2020. Sign Guy along with QT Vokes and Randy Zellers with you. Real fast, before we jump into things, want to once again send our condolences out to the fans and the family of Tracy Smothers, who we lost this week. Also, we want to send out our well wishes to the Pacific Northwest-owned Lone Star. He lost his mother today, so we want to send him our best wishes as well. But to start things off with the interview, I want to welcome on our guest, Lil Dickie Watts. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Well, since today happens to be your first time on this show, we're going to start you with our traditional first-timer question. How did you get into the business of pro wrestling?
Into the business of pro wrestling? It's a pretty simple tale, really. I was 18 years old, and I was pretty unhappy with where I was at life, and I didn't really like what I was doing with my time. I was kind of just like, I don't really feel like I have a future right now. And so I was like, I should just do something that I've always wanted to do as like a kid, you know, like I'm 18, I'm an adult, I can do what I want. And it turns out that there was a wrestling school about 35 minutes from where I was working, and it was the House of Truth in Centerline. And I was like, I could just be a pro wrestler. And if I feel like it, and I do want to do that, I feel like doing that. So I gave myself a year to save up more money and get into better shape. At the time, I think I was 120 pounds, and I was 6'1 at the time, which is kind of very underweight. So I put on some pounds, and I saved up money, and then a year later in March, I went to wrestling school, and it was a good old jolly time, as jolly as it can be learning how to do what we do. But yeah, it was just kind of something that I pursued almost on a whim, but not out of just curiosity. I knew that I loved wrestling, and I knew that I was something I thought I could be good at, but it was just like, I wonder if I can do that. And here we are now.
The House of Truth is one of the most reputable training schools. Of course, Truth Martini established that school several years ago, and he's cranked out a lot of really great talent. Do you find yourself, whenever you go into new promotions or new areas where you haven't been, that having been trained by the House of Truth gives you a little more credibility than if you would try to get into a place and you had a less credible trainer?
I think it's definitely helped. I've been in places where it was kind of like, oh, is he on the show? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm on the show. And they're like, where were you trained? And kind of like interrogating manner. And then I tell them House of Truth, and then it's like, oh, okay. And they kind of stop trying to interrogate me at that point. So it has definitely helped. I think I have a decent pedigree of schools I've trained at for prolonged periods of time. The House of Truth is where I started and trained the majority of the time. I also spent time at Scott DeMore's school in Windsor, right across the border, and I currently spend my time at the Skull and Bones Wrestling School, which is Crimson and Trey Miguel's school. So I've had a couple different trainers in my time, but House of Truth is always the go-to because that's Truth Martini is the one who broke me in properly into the business, so to speak.
Now, going into pro wrestling, obviously you said you had to pack on some pounds and put on weight. A lot of people, especially early in their career, tend to focus on diet and try to maintain a specific diet as part of their training regimen. So far since you've been wrestling, have you gotten into specific diet plans that you adhere to, or is your diet something that's a little bit more open?
So it's been a complicated journey because after I went through wrestling school, a couple months after that, I actually started developing a form of IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. And so what my diet was at the time, which was a pretty standard bulking diet, I would say, I had to cut out most of it as I can't have eggs or any kind of dairy anymore. And a list of other things that I can't have. So my diet's pretty restricted at the moment. It's usually just kept simple as my primary, like, big meals will be something as simple as just, like, a starch and meat, whether it's turkey, beef, chicken, and potatoes, noodles, rice, something like that. Those are my main meals at the moment because I can't have a lot of fruits or vegetables, unfortunately. And anything that's very high in sugar tends to upset my stomach as well. And I do make an exception sometimes here and there, but it's mostly just that kind of simple meal plan just because I know that's what won't upset my stomach. So it's been an interesting journey. Finding a diet, not being able to have that diet, and then scrambling to figure something else out, basically.
In your career, obviously wrestlers tend to have a bit of problem when it comes to finding food post-shows. A lot of times that's why wrestlers gravitate towards Waffle House, or they'll end up at a Denny's or something like that. Just with restrictions and the way things work for you, is it a problem usually finding food like after a show or going to a show that's going to work with what you have to have for your diet?
Yeah, on the road it's pretty hard to keep my diet consistent and not have an upset stomach. So on the way to shows, I usually eat light. Definitely have a decent-sized breakfast of some just basic bread and peanut butter or something like that. And then on the way to shows, something simple like Subway is pretty lenient on stuff to eat. And then after shows, it's usually just something like gas station snacks. I started doing the chicken tender review on my social media pages because there were so many times where I would go out to eat after a show or before a show, and I was like, well, all of this is kind of dicey if I try to eat it, but I know if I have chicken tenders, it won't upset my stomach. So if I do get put into one of those positions, I'll usually opt for the chicken tenders just because I know that won't hurt my stomach if I end up at one of those kind of restaurants where most of the things are off limits for my diet.
I have seen these chicken tender reviews, and the one I just finished today was for Lee's Chicken, which you said was the easiest nine that you had ever made in your life. What was it that made it stand out to you?
I think it was the... It's pretty easy for me to tell how fast, like, it's pretty much as soon as I bite into it, I know how good it is. Because if it has a nice bite and it's juicy and has a nice, breading to it that's not too overwhelming but is enough, then as soon as I bite into it, I can tell it's going to be good. So that's usually those are usually the things I judge it by, is by the breading, how easy it is to bite into and if it's juicy or not. And Lee's is pretty good. I think it's the at least top three, second or third for sure. I loved having Lee's. I like Southern Ohio has some good chicken places.
So it would seem. We've talked a little bit about you being on the road and going to different places, and I know that you've been to several different states for wrestling so far. Everyone that works in the wrestling business that travels knows that venues can vary a lot, especially at the independent level. You have some venues that you sort of dread going to perform. Other venues you can't wait to go through that door. Do you personally have a favorite venue where you wrestle?
There's a couple really nice venues that I've wrestled in. I think the setup at Wrestling Theology Fellowship is really nice. They have projectors, they have a stage. The way that they've distanced themselves amongst COVID concerns was pretty smart, I think. That one jumps to mind for sure. There's also a place in northern Michigan that I've wrestled for before. That's the Mr. Chainsaw Pro Wrestling promotion. That one has they rent out the Civic Center for Traverse City, and it is huge. It is like a proper sized building, and they only rent out a part of it, and then they just keep opening up more space because they can just have more space based on how many tickets they sell. And that place is huge, and like that's where they have their biggest shows of the year generally. I've only been there once, but that's generally where all the biggest shows of the year tend to be at. And I wish that it had happened this year. I was quite excited to be in that venue again. So I appreciate the bigger venues, and I also appreciate the venues that have nice just presentation regardless of size, like a stage and lighting and the projectors and all that. I very much appreciate those things.
One of the other things that a lot of wrestlers tend to take for granted, especially when they're young in their career, but it's part of the business and always will, is injuries. We know that if you're in this for very long, you're going to have some form of an injury at some point, be it a minor one or a serious one. Have you had to deal with very many injuries thus far?
Well, not too many serious ones. They vary. I've had broken ribs a couple times. Those healed up in a couple weeks. They weren't like full broken, but they were a nice fracture, enough to stop me from being able to like really do my thing. I've had quite a few concussions, which are pretty scary. I had a couple scary ones that lasted a couple days, and that's the thing that I kind of am the most scared of is concussions, because it's the worst feeling in the world. But besides the broken ribs and the concussions, I've been pretty fortunate to avoid any kind of major injuries that kept me from booking. I think I've only missed a couple bookings because of injury. I think maybe less than five I missed because of some kind of nagging injury. But yeah, so luckily I've been pretty fortunate to not have months long recoveries that really kept me out of it. So, but yeah, the injuries are scary, and I try to take as much precautions in my work to not injure myself or anybody else.
Always a solid plan, and as someone that has had a few concussions himself, I would like to point out a couple of days isn't too long to have symptoms, and I'm glad you haven't had anything longer than that, because those can last forever.
There's been a couple that were, I want to say, 3 days, with it being like they would happen at night, so it would carry on through until the next day and then start going away the day after that, thankfully. And then yeah, there was one concussion where I, like, had to throw up. It was that kind of concussion, and that was probably the scariest day in my life, at least one of them. That one was really bad, so hopefully none like that. And that one definitely had some residual effects that I feel like I recently kind of overcame or were otherwise subdued by natural healing. But yeah, that's concussions are scary and nothing to mess around with.
Absolutely not. They definitely can wreak havoc with the body, and I'm glad you weren't carrying a serious one. I've noticed in your career you have done a lot of tag team wrestling, and you've had several different partners so far. Just in your own personal preference, would you say that you like tag team wrestling or singles wrestling better?
That is a hard question for me personally, because the way that I can, like, express myself, right, and, like, put together, like, myself, it's fun to do with another person. It's fun to be in a tag team and committed and have, like, your identity, like, as a unit, right? But on the other hand, there's a certain flavor and charm that you only get in tag team wrestling. And sometimes I want a little bit more than tag team wrestling. So I think that while I do love tag team wrestling and I love the people I've teamed with over the years, or the couple years rather, I think my calling is as a singles wrestler, personally.
All right. Well, at this point in time, my co-host Randy Zellers is standing by, and I know Randy's going to have some questions for you, so I'm going to pass things to him for a bit.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, man. Hey, how you doing? Once again, welcome to the show, man.
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, heck, because I see that you've always watched wrestling as a youth when you were growing up and stuff. Who is your favorite wrestlers that you looked forward to watching?
When I was very young, like maybe 4 years old or so, it was Rob Van Dam and Tajiri. And then as I got a little older, it was Christian and Shawn Michaels. Those were my boys when I was younger.
All right. Well, shoot. Hey, well, that's good. Hey, that's what's up. Giving a little love to ECW. And
yeah,
stuff.
That ECW stuff. Unfortunately, ECW was a past my time as a young boy. I was born in 98, but going back and watching those two guys in particular in ECW is like not completely different, but there's definitely something that was lost in translation from what I saw as a kid, you know?
Yeah, because I remember when they tried to reamp ECW, didn't really get over because I liked the fact that they were different, like going to the ECW arena and all that other stuff. You know, they only traveled within their means at that time, and they'll probably go way down south, you know, on their pay-per-views. And the one thing I wanted to ask you about was very entertaining match at the Hot Sauce Festival in Chicago. How was your experience over there?
I'm sorry, where at in Chicago?
It was the Hot Sauce Festival where you wrestled.
The Hot Sauce Festival, yes.
Yeah.
So that was a fun little trip, actually. I went down there with a couple of the boys from Michigan, and that was where the original Kendi review idea kind of got birthed, because I had ordered chicken tenders at Denny's in the morning instead of what people would consider a real breakfast. But I had to wrestle in 2 hours or so I thought, and I'm like, well, it's 2 hours till showtime. I'm not going to eat a heavy breakfast that's going to hurt my stomach while I have to wrestle in 2 hours. So I just got something simple and easy that I knew wouldn't do nothing. And then after the show, it was kind of a rent when in Rome kind of deal, where we went to this barbecue place near the somewhere near the venue. And well, venue, it was in a parking lot, but I digress.
Yeah.
Near where we were
yeah.
staying, and I was like, well, you know, it's a barbecue place. I'm going to try a po' boy. I don't really know what a po' boy is, but I'll get a buffalo chicken po' boy because that sounds good to me. And what I got is probably not what most people would consider a po' boy. What I got was an open-faced piece of white bread. It was technically a sandwich, but it was just a basic white bread. And two chicken tenders that were dipped in a buffalo sauce. So really, instead of a po' boy, I had just ordered chicken tenders on white bread, which gave a hearty laugh to all my friends at my expense that I ordered chicken tenders again. That's kind of how I to do the Tempe review. So, yeah, that was a good trip. And also, I had a fun little match with Joe Blue there.
Yeah.
And that man will always impress me because he did a lion salt and did not use his hands when he would grab to the rope. As you know, a lion salt is when you jump off the middle rope and then do a back moonsault off of it onto the man waiting in the center. But he just jumped feet first onto the middle rope, did not adjust himself with the top rope whatsoever, and casually did a lion salt and knocked all the air out of me. And I still cannot believe he did it without his hands. That is beyond me.
Dang, yeah, I saw that too. And I was like, dang, good form, great technique. I mean, just went, did that in all fluid motion. That was really impressive on that part. But yeah, but it was pretty cool that you got that you busted out the pride flag and y'all waved it, and it was real funny when you guys were doing the crop back and forth, then you stopped and he kept on jumping around.
That was
the funny spot.
Yeah, my man, that was a fun match. It was a good time. I wish to wrestle him again at some point in the future. I know that he is from Chicago, but I haven't been on any of the shows that he's been on. But he's a quite the entertaining guy. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's really good because it's always good to work with people who, one, you can get along with, and two, you guys got that chemistry together and tell by the crowd was really into it.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting being at those kind of shows because nobody there paid their little fee to see a wrestling show, right? It's just kind of like we're there anyways. So getting the crowd to give a anything about the match is it's a little bit of a job well done.
That's good. That's really good to see. And after when you guys got done wrestling, did you check out any vendors? Did a little walking around, see some interesting stuff over there?
So I walked around because I'm not sure it doesn't come across in the video, but there was like four shows and there was like a 2-hour gap in between each show. So there was a lot of time to just hang out and just hang out. So I walked around and looked at every vendor. There was a lot of alcohol vendors. I wasn't 21 yet, so I didn't have any of that. Didn't have any hot sauce because I had to wrestle. I was the last show of the day, and I knew that if I had had any hot sauce, I wouldn't have been able to perform due to the crippling pain that it would bring upon me. But they were all cool. They were all cool vendors. There was unfortunately a couple. Well, the next day there was supposed to be a day two, but it got rained out. And it got rained out. It wasn't a light drizzle. It was a raining sideways kind of deal.
Ooh.
So I unfortunately didn't get to wrestle the second day at all. So I just kind of got dressed in gear and then ran into the car and then drove home. That was unfortunate, but it was still a good time.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Man. And did you have any athletic background when you were in high school or anything, or are you currently in high school, or?
As far as an athletic background goes, no. I didn't have any athletic background. I was homeschooled for high school. I'm 21 now, 22 in December.
Oh, okay.
And so I was homeschooled, and I spent that time going to video game tournaments. I actually paid my wrestling school tuition with tournament winnings from local Michigan tournaments. And that was kind of what I spent all my time towards. A lot of people go into wrestling, and I have friends who are like, oh, yeah, I just played football or baseball in high school. And I'm just like, oh, okay. Yeah, not me, big dog. That was not my calling.
But video games, hey, that was awesome, man. Tell me more about that, because I remember hearing about video game competitions today and stuff like that. And I see, like, a lot of people, like, try to get the highest score on, like, Nintendo games and PlayStations and stuff like that. What's your favorite system to, you got plans on getting that PS5, right?
Eventually I will. I'm a little hurting for cash right now, so it's not like something that I think will happen this year. In terms of favorite consoles, it's a pretty biased answer. I think my favorite is probably the GameCube, because that was what I grew up with, and
GameCube.
The system that I used for tournaments, because the game that I was good at for a time was Super Smash Bros. Melee on the GameCube.
Nice.
I was really good at I don't sound very humble when I say I was very good at it, but I did have a couple decent accomplishments in it. So that was cool.
Oh,
and
good.
I made enough money to pay for wrestling school. So that was pretty cool. So that would be my favorite console, I would say.
All right. Hands down. That's pretty good, man. Coming from growing up on Nintendo, I grew up with Nintendo too. So, it's pretty cool. I mean, I've bought more systems than I played in my adult life. I'll tell you that.
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I bought a PlayStation 4 just so I can watch WWE Network on TV. Turns out,
Surprisingly good, for like being an entertainment system. Like me and my boyfriend have the PlayStation set up in the bedroom because he uses it for watching a lot of like YouTube and like videos and stuff like that. And I'm like, all right, well, yeah, we'll just throw it right there on the bedroom TV. That works for me.
Yep, ain't nothing wrong with that. And, because once I started playing Grand Theft Auto, I got my kid, she's a little teenage now, and she's like, come on, Dad, let me get in on this. I was like, all right. All of a sudden, boom, gets taken over. I'm like, oh, well.
that happens.
Yep.
That's
how
that goes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm planning on getting the PS5. But I looked at it and everything, and I have to say, I could tell that and the new Xbox are going to be like the hottest thing in the Christmas market.
Oh, for sure. They always are. Remember when the PS4 came out? I had asked for it for Christmas, and my dad at the time, he was just like calling every store like every couple of days. It's like, hey, you got anything? And just randomly, one of the Walmarts nearby happened to have one when he called, and he just went and grabbed it at like 8 a.m. or something. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, because I remember I got my PS4 from GameStop, and all of a sudden, as soon as me and my cousin came home with it, my daughter was like, oh, ditched her friends. It was like, oh, well, you guys got in that bag? I was like, what you got in that bag? Oh, yeah. I mean, I swear, kids can sense a video game or something new. They like great white sharks when it comes to blood. Ooh, I smell a video game system. I got to go. Yep.
That's how it is. Yeah. That's What's funny is that he actually wasn't 8 o'clock. He left and woke up at like 6 a.m. to go get it because I had to leave my dad's house at like 8:30, and it was in the house when I left, and I didn't even know. It was just under my nose the whole time.
Oh, man, he probably wanted to see your face at Christmas.
I know. It is just like, okay, 2 weeks, and I can give it to him.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man. I'm already knowing because if I ever got my kid something like that, I know I got to ditch it at one of my relatives' houses and stuff like that.
Temptation's
you know,
too strong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I'm already know. And heck, it's kind of funny when now every time, you know, you go and buy something, you can either get a receipt, either digital email to you or just have a hard copy. It's just like, oh, man, so many options.
Yeah, I mean, luckily you can get it emailed and hide the physical evidence instead of accidentally having somebody find something.
Exactly. Exactly, man. Hey, man, what's your do you got any particular games that you're playing right now, or?
So I recently went to it's because I saw the special edition coming out for the PlayStation 5. I realized I had yet to play my copy of Devil May Cry 5, which I had on the PS4, and I had it and I bought it like in April. And I'm a pretty big Devil May Cry guy, so I was kind of surprised that I hadn't played it yet. And I was like, okay, well, the Virgil DLC will come out on PS4. Virgil is my guy. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll play it now, and I'll beat it before the Virgil DLC comes out, and it'll just, you know, it'll be a jolly good old time. And I played it, and I just could not believe how good it was. It was such a step up from DMC4, which is, I think, wasn't as good as DMC3. And DMC3 was so good, and DMC5 is better than it in, like, every way. The way they gave Dante, like, his best moveset yet, like, with the way they kind of, like, combined Swordmaster into his regular combos and, like, made Swordmaster his new thing because, like, Dante was kind of getting left in the dust when B and Nero can combo in the air and he needs to switch styles. Like, just everything they did to Dante was amazing, and then Nero's double breakers are so sweet, and the story, as you know, character action games like that, they don't have the best story, but it had some nice emotional beats at the end that were satisfying, especially like the last boss fights were all super satisfying. So then I'm playing it and I'm like, man, I am really bad at this game. I never thought I was really good at Devil May Cry, but I saw some combo videos on YouTube, and I got really insecure about how bad I was at my favorite game series, or one of my favorite game series. So I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to set a goal for myself before the Virgil DLC comes out, which I think is December 15th or whatever. I'm going to beat the Bloody Palace mode. I'm going to try to beat it on as many difficulties as I can. The story mode, that is. Bloody Palace only has one difficulty mode. And if you don't know, the Bloody Palace is 101 levels of enemies that get progressively harder as you go up. And I just was playing it, and I'm just like, wow, I am so bad at this game. So I'm going through the story and trying to beat it on all the difficulties and try to beat Bloody Palace because I want to be better at the game. So that's the only thing that I'm focusing my attention on in terms of games right now. That's pretty much it. It's just Devil May Cry. Because of that, you know, I just got to beat it. I got to beat it. So I don't got time to play anything else. So
I get
that's
you,
what
man.
I'm playing right now.
All righty. Well, thank you for your time of talking with me and all that good stuff. And I'm going to go ahead here and pass it on here to QT. QT, take it away.
All right. Thank you for your questions. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Randy. Hello, Mr. Watts.
Hello.
Mr. Watts, I saw your YouTube video, Little Dickie Watts versus Heidi Katrina, and I have to say, I didn't like the little next to your name. I'd say due to video analysis, you are 5'11" and 1/4 inch and 172 pounds. Am I close? Uh-oh, did I
The height, though, I am about 6'1 and a half, depending on what time of the day you measure me. I'm either 6'2 or 6'1. So, but you got the weight pretty close, actually.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to say I eked out a video analysis correct analysis. I have an overall record on Turnbuckle Turmoil of about 78 wins, 3 losses, and 2 ties. And I have to come within an inch of a person's height and about 10 pounds of his weight. Thank you for helping me extend the streak.
Yeah, you're welcome. you got the weight pretty spot on. That's impressive.
No, okay. All right, very good. Okay. Well, I saw, was it your entrance music was I Know What Boys Like by the Waitresses?
Yes, so that was my Uncle Willie's entrance music for the longest time. I think it should still be. I don't know how long he's been using it for. And so when I was doing shows without him up until November 2019, I would use that as my entrance music. So, yes, that would be it.
Wow, okay, all right. Let me see now. I Know What Boys Want by the Waitresses. Here's a question. What do you consider a proper tip for waiters and waitresses in this COVID-19 era?
In current year, I mean, I believe that most waitresses and waiters do a very good job. I very rarely have bad experiences when I'm out and about. I always try to leave a 20% tip. And if I'm just kind of picking up something at a to-go place, like a smoothie place or something like that, I'll try to at least leave a dollar tip, which usually turns out to be about 20% or so based on what I order. So I try not to order too much when I go out. So, yeah, I'm a pretty firm believer in 20% just because I usually get pretty good service.
Wow. All right. Now, seeing how it was by the Waitresses that made up your entrance music. Did you ever see the Seinfeld episode where Jerry's father gives Jerry a tip calculator as a gift? A tip calculator.
I've not seen that episode of Seinfeld. I do remember the episode of Seinfeld where George wants to leave a tip, but nobody is looking at him when he is going to leave the tip, and he is stuck in the moral conundrum of telling everyone he's leaving a tip, which defeats the purpose of looking good-natured of leaving a tip, or leave a tip without anybody seeing, which also removes the perceived good-naturedness of the tip. So, no, I did not see the tip calculator. I did see that one with George, and I think about it a lot because I have been in the tip business. I don't live off of tips, but they are appreciated at my store. And I've definitely a couple times heard somebody tip without me looking. And I wonder if they did it because they were in the position that George was in and they said, well, I'm already holding the money. I hope they hear it. Or if they did it out of good nature.
Yes, that was at the pizzeria and it was a glass jar that George threw his money into.
Yes, I couldn't remember the pizza, but I do feel like it was a glass jar.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Watts, you carried the rainbow flag into the ring. My question is, why don't you ever see a rainbow flag with the skull and crossbones emblem / of Guns N' Roses wanted in an official band flag like this, a rainbow flag with a skull and crossbones? Did you know this?
I can't tell you why I've never seen a skull and bones on a rainbow flag. I feel like that's just kind of an oversight. I feel like somebody has had to have done it before. And on Guns N' Roses, I've never noticed No. Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess I could be the first since nobody else is currently doing it that I'm aware of, at least.
Oh, okay. You have Turnbuckle Turmoil's permission. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, Mr. Watts, you went up against Heidi Katrina. Were you surprised when her entrance music was not the song Going Down to Liverpool? Because you have to admit, she was draped in a British Union Jack. Were you surprised she didn't have the song Going Down to Liverpool?
I was not surprised that it was not that. I can't remember what little town she's from. I do know she's from the same place as Will Ospreay, and I don't believe it's Liverpool. But I know she is, in fact, from England and the United Kingdom. I just can't remember where it's from because she has the flag on the back of her wrestling shoes. I do know that. But yes, I'm not surprised.
Maybe she's from Wolverhampton, which is the same town the rock band The Glitter, rock band Slade, was from. They were the band that had the song Come On, Feel the Noise, the original version.
Slade. Oh, I did not know that.
Yes. Your homework assignment is to look up Slade, Come On, Feel the Noise.
Slade, Come On, Feel the Noise? Okay, I think I can do that.
Yeah. And they also have the song Run, Run Away, which is very good. And you might consider for your entrance music.
I would be open to the suggestions once I get a chance to listen to it.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Well, Mr. Watts, I noticed the referee did not check Heidi for foreign objects, but when I saw her gear, she did not have much hiding space on her except for her knee pads. My question is, has your knee pads prevented you from getting serious meniscus tears?
I'm going to have to say I don't think my knee pads have helped with meniscus tears. I don't think they've contributed towards any. But I think that I just like to land. I really like to land hard on my knees, and so it's, you know, my bones ache. It's more so for the bones than the meniscus, I think.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, Mr. Watts, the action spilled outside the ring, and at the 7:50 mark, Heidi threw you into what looks like a weathered brown shed. My question is, have you found out that if this shed has held the actual wrestling ring you wrestled in, and perhaps this shed has been a place where a wrestler can crash for a few hours before resuming a road trip? Did you find that out?
I unfortunately did not find out if either of those things are true. I feel like I can safely say that the shed did not hold any wrestling rings in its life, as the ring that I wrestled in is predominantly stored on a trailer hitch, and I've never personally known any wrestlers to sleep in that particular shed. So I can say not confidently no to both of those questions.
Oh, okay. I'm going to mark that down. No. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Mr. Watts, you got revenge against Heidi by throwing her into a green bush that was about as big as she was. It was good that this bush was bendable and not as rigid as, say, a ponderosa pine. But she landed in a bed of rocks that could have done a lot of damage. But what puzzled me is that she took off the glasses that she was wearing and handed them to you. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners why you and Heidi participated in a rare hand-over-the-glasses mid-match move?
I think it was So those weren't her sunglasses, I think, is the important part to this mental exercise. What had happened was in a brief moment of confidence or lucidity, she had managed to find sunglasses and wear them. And then after being thrown into the bush and landing in rocks, she realized that her face was not a safe place to keep the glasses. So she was trying to give them to somebody else, I presume, but I was there instead, as I had been throwing her into a bush prior to the glasses. So I don't think she intended them to be mine, but they had to become mine as I happened to be the one to steal them from her. So while a rare moment, I think if you look at the circumstances, it is the only correct play or moment to have.
Ah, okay. All right. Now I understand that. Very good. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Watts, did you see the Terminator movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger was about to leave on a biker's motorcycle outside a bar when one of the bar patrons comes out of the bar and fires a shotgun into the air and says, "I can't let you take a man's bike, so get off the bike." Did you see that?
Is that in Terminator 2?
Yes.
I have not seen Terminator 2, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, to have this scene kind of, Arnold is not intimidated by the shotgun blast. He puts the kickstand down, slowly gets off this bike he is about to take, and walks slowly to this bartender who is holding a shotgun. He grabs the shotgun with a very quick Terminator-like motion, just yanks it out of his hand, and then he slowly takes the man's glasses out of his pocket and puts them on his face and slowly walks back to his bike. Well, inspired by Miss Katrina giving you her glasses when she's lying in a bed of rocks, would you let myself and Randy Zellers set up a community play where you would play the part of Arnold and Heidi Katrina could play the part of the barkeeper who fires the shotgun and has his glasses taken away from him? Would you let me and Randy set this up?
I think that if you could convince her to fly to America and do that scene shot for shot, if she was willing to be a part of it, then it would be an injustice for me to say no. So I would happily be a part of it.
All right, Randy and I will get on this right away. Yes.
I'm sure you will be able to easily find Heidi Katrina's contact information.
Oh, I'm sure Randy's looking forward to this. Okay. Okay. Well, Mr. Watts, many wrestlers have T-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees. Do you yourself have a T-shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees?
I, as a matter of fact, have 3 shirts on ProWrestlingTees.com/DiggyWatts.
Wow, 3. Okay, how are sales going?
They're doing all right, I would say. Given that without the website, I would have 0 sales. I am doing infinitely better with the help of the website. I recently put a new shirt up that I intend to order some to have with me to take to shows. But yeah, overall, I've been very appreciative of the people who have bought shirts from me off of my Pro Wrestling Tees website. It is very much appreciated.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at this time, I have to drive down I-5 and go to my shoot job. I will pass this back over to Sign Guy. Good talking
awesome.
With you.
Awesome. Thank you for the questions. They were very interesting, to say the least.
Well, okay. We do ask the hard questions on this show.
I can tell. It's a nice breath of fresh air.
Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Dickie, one of the things that all of us fear that's been in the business is
the moment where something goes wrong on a show, be it an injury, be it some problem with the ring, be it a problem with a fan, that terrifies us momentarily. We've all had those moments where, whether for just a few seconds or for the rest of the night, it kind of shakes us a little bit. To this point in time, what would you say has been your scariest moment during the course of a show?
I would say there was a moment at a show where the promoter and his brother were trying to make a run with all the money, and somebody pulled a gun, and the police were called, and all of the locker room was out in the ring to confront this promoter who was being very shady. And at that moment, either the promoter or his brother decided to hide in the closet, while the other one attempted to make a run for it with the box, and it did not work, did not happen. So I would say probably having the police called and a gun pulled at a wrestling show is probably the most terrified I've been at a wrestling show.
I can see that being a scary moment for sure. Well, you told QT that you were selling three different versions of a shirt at Pro Wrestling Tees, and they're doing well. Wrestlers have been peddling merchandise to fans for decades now. They've sold anything from hats to water bottles to coffee cups to sunglasses, you name it, and a wrestler has tried to market it. Are there other items that you're looking to market and sell at merchandise tables on shows near you?
One of my ideas I've had that I haven't been able to do yet, as I have unfortunately not been at a show since I've had the idea, is I have a bit of a passion, you could say. I have a bit of a passion for Polaroid photography. I very like the moment immediacy of it, as well as the kind of almost anxiety of hoping you got a good shot of whatever you took a picture of. And so I was going to do Polaroid pictures with whoever would like to purchase one and have that kind of one-of-a-kind, instead of an 8x10 per se, kind of just have that unique Polaroid that is one-of-a-kind. So that's one thing that I wanted to do at shows coming up that I haven't had a chance to do yet, though I think I may try it in the impending weeks that are coming. I think that'll be something that I'm going to try out and see how it goes over and if anybody's interested in it.
You know, a lot of wrestlers made a lot of money doing Polaroids back in the day, so hopefully that's something that will be a resurgence and you'll clean up at the box office with your Polaroids.
Yeah, I hope so. I feel like I haven't seen anybody do it in current year. I figured it's something that had a bit more prominence back in the day. But, yeah, that is one of the ideas I've had.
Like I mentioned at the top of the show, this last week the wrestling world lost Tracy Smothers, and he was an icon in this business. Not an understatement at all to say he helped countless people all over the world in the wrestling business, and those people went on to help others, and those people went on to help others. So his reach is extremely massive, and we might not fully appreciate how much he did. Did you personally ever come across Tracy Smothers at a show yet, or did you have interactions with people that were close to Tracy?
I personally never met him. I know that a lot of people in the kind of circle that I'm in of wrestling had met him and had plenty of good to say of him. My current trainer, Crimson, when he was wrestling at CK3, he was friends with Tracy since I think 2006, I want to say. But he borrowed very heavily from Tracy with his help in trying to get his persona across. And so hearing all of the good things from my trainer and just what he's had to say has been, it's been astounding. Just like, oh, wow, that's something that I associated so heavily with my trainer. That's like, oh, that's all from him. My friends list of Tracy was just incredible. And I feel, it's unfortunate that I never got to properly meet him and talk to him while he was with us, but it's not that his teachings will not go on. His teachings are very, very plentiful in wrestling, I can tell. So, unfortunately, I did not get to meet him.
Now, of all the shows you've been on, I know that you've been on shows with a lot of really great independent talent. A lot of them I personally either know or have worked with as well. Going by people that you've been on a show with physically, who would you say are some of the more underrated independent talents out there that you think might become the future of the business in a few years?
I think the answer that springs to mind right away would be Speedball Mike Bailey. I think that he's underrated exclusively because he doesn't perform in America, and is because, unfortunately, he was banned from America because of visa issues, I believe. But his ban is going to be up very soon. So if he gets his visa situation sorted out, and you will be able to see him on American soil, he is astounding. He is amazing. I did two seminars of his. I actually got to work with him in the ring, and I had previously watched his matches before, and he is incredible, and I think would do very well in the American scene with a proper light shown on him. He did wrestle in Japan for DDT, and he wrestled in Canada all over. And I think that if Mike Bailey was given a proper spotlight, everybody's favorite wrestler would be Mike Bailey. Mike Bailey is wonderful. But yeah, I would say that's probably the most underrated person that I can think of. And yeah, definitely Mike Bailey. Definitely Speedball Mike Bailey.
Well, we're down to just a few minutes left in the show today, and I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, social media, merchandise, upcoming appearances, your favorite bakery, anything in the world, floor is yours.
Okay. Well, selfishly, I must say my social medias, which you can just send me a friend request on Facebook, which is Dickie Watts. If you'd like to follow me on any social media platforms, they are at Dickie Watts Pro for Twitter and Instagram, DickieWattsPro for my Instagram and Twitter. And then, of course, I would like to thank my trainers over the years, the House of Truth of Centerline, Michigan, the Can-Am Dojo in Windsor, Ontario, and Skull and Bones Pro Wrestling in Toledo, Ohio. I love all of them for helping me. Trey Miguel and CK3 are my current trainers, and I am so thankful for them. Check out my work on my social medias. I have the Dickie's Tendies Review. I have match highlights. I have match links. If you would like to see more of my work, my pro wrestling tees is prowrestlingtees.com/DickieWatts. And yeah, I appreciate you guys, the listeners, for listening. And I appreciate you guys, the hosts, for having me on. I appreciate the time allotted.
Our pleasure. We definitely enjoyed it. And hopefully we'll get to do this with you again soon. And I'm looking forward to the next Chicken Tendies review. And I'm looking forward to seeing you progress your career.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, fans, definitely if you get the chance, Little Dickie Watts is a great, great talent. I think you're going to enjoy him immensely. Go buy a ticket, pick up a T-shirt, support him and what he's doing. I think he's got a bright, bright future ahead of him. We'll be back with you next week, 1 week from today. Joseph Schwartz will be with us. He's going to be talking Flophouse Wrestling. So make plans to be with us then, and stay safe out there. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for having me.
Never heard like this before.